This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Resource Center. It's also Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. To represent a nation and subsequently the female collective in one's nation is a rather heavy burden. What is the philosophy of Carrie Ng, Malaysia's representative at the Miss Universe 2013 pageant? Did I get the year right? She's also a national director for the Miss Universe Malaysia organization. This is a role she took up a year ago, right? Welcome, Carrie. Of course, a very beautiful Carrie Ng.
Thank you.
Why did you take on this role of director?
Well, it was just a matter of time. I felt that it was my time to give back to the pageant, and it came sooner than I expected. But I think I had a very unique experience myself in 2013. I was on my own a lot, and I was expected to be independent because I was without a national director. And it was, I think, a very unique situation where a girl is crowned and she's not given guidance. So I was really just groping in the dark, but that really made me who I am today. Okay. And I was really expected to learn the industry on my own. And I felt that when I was offered the job as national director, I knew that it would be way easier for me to understand what the girl would need as soon as she got crowned. And I think also I do have sort of a nurturing instinct since I was pretty young. I was always the oldest in the family and taking care of the younger girls, you know. So I think taking on this role, you know, for about almost a year, not a year yet, has made me realize that it's sort of second nature for me. I really love it. So,
and what do you think you'd be doing if you didn't take on the role? Because you were trained as an architect.
Yeah. Well, I was actually expecting to turn back to design. I wasn't really sure whether I would go back to architecture. It's a really tough job. But I do love design. I love ID. And I would always, I think, take on smaller projects for me to work on as I still stay in industry. You know, I would still love to MC. I would still want to be a host. And as you can tell, I really love talking. So I really wanted to venture into that. And well, that was actually my path until this director role came up to me.
Okay, you know, I was going through the wiki page on the Miss Universe Malaysia, and the motto is hip, urban, relevant, real. You know, I mean, when did this motto come about, and why was there a need for this motto specifically?
Well, it started, I think, well, I hope I get my dates right, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago when Andrea took over the pageant. And I think it was really smart of her because she then made this relevant.
Right.
Because I think pageants at that time were kind of sliding backwards. And especially in the Malaysian landscape, I think beauty pageants weren't really considered something that was really relevant. It was sort of redundant at that time, and the girls weren't really getting enough exposure or really giving back to the community as much as they should. And she took over the entire organization and really turned it around with the TV reality show and wanting to show the world and basically our fans that it's not just about the pictures and the final night where the girls are parading. There's way, way more to it. In fact, it's just 20% of what the pageant is really about. And so then she turned into a TV reality show thereafter. And basically what the slogan came from there, because she wants to make the girls hip, urban, relevant and real.
Okay. And why urban?
Well, I think it's also because in Malaysia specifically, we don't actually have competitions in the States anymore. I mean, by state, then the national pageant, we're quite centralized. I think a lot of the girls that we scout from will come to KL. And I think our circle of the industry that she will be in once she's crowned is actually very, very small, and it's very centralized. So therefore, the girl has to be urban. She has to be modern. She has to be, I mean, to be relevant, you have to be modern and urban.
Right. And you know, we just talked about the selection process. I mean, once upon a time, I think before you were born.
Not that young.
There was a time when competitions, because I want to go through the selection process, when like each state would have their contest, and then after that, with the winner from each state will pit against each other, and then, you know, there'll be a winner for the whole of Malaysia. Obviously, that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
So what happens now in the selection process?
Well, our selection process is equally long, except that our call to audition is basically based in KL. We actually expanded to east of Malaysia last year in hopes of finding more contestants. So basically, it starts 6 to 7 months before the crowning of the girl. And we call in girls through online. So they send in their submissions online. And we usually get an overwhelming response because, you know, you get all sorts of girls and everyone wants to try out, which is a good thing. You know, you get experienced girls, girls who have been in magazines, girls who want to be in the industry, and girls who are just raw. So you get a good selection of girls, and then they come into the office where we will basically interview them and see them in person. And then you get through another round of auditions with a panel of basically people in the industry, experts in the industry, and they usually don't know about it. So we send them through like a dinner or an event, and people will actually score them, and then we will shortlist them again. And then, therefore, they will be about 17 to 20 finalists every year.
So,
and then,
So like, how many people would have submitted for this year?
In total, I think there was about 700, 800 in the first call.
Okay.
And then we actually shortlisted maybe four rounds before we arrived at our final 17.
Okay. So this is, so they go through this process, and it took you, you were saying, 6-7 months before that whole selection process. And what do you look for when they come in, the first cut? What are some of the things that...
Well, it's still a beauty pageant, so the first thing is physique.
Yeah.
Well, she has to have the makings of it. She doesn't have to be there yet, but the height is quite important. Presence is important. I think the structure and the proportion of the body is also important. So you have to have the face for it. So we have to look beyond just what they have. I mean, my job is to see potential in that. So knowing makeup, what makeup could do, you know, what hair could do, what styling could do is really important because it could totally change the girl. So we really have to look past just what.
So you get the raw material.
Raw material, that's right. But you want potential, you know. So that's our first cut. But obviously, we also want to know what the girl is like, you know, her story, because we want the girl to eventually be a role model, you know, where, you know, people within our own nation can look up to her and say, hey, we're actually proud of our beauty queen. You know, she's not just a face or any other model. There's so many, they're plentiful, beautiful models in Malaysia.
Right.
You can't just be a model if you want to be a beauty queen.
Right, because you do have to, there's a lot of communication and being out there and talking.
You're a
and
brand ambassador.
You're a brand ambassador of the country as well. So, and of course, then there's the selection process. And of course, the lead up to Miss Malaysia Universe, what actually happens then? Once you've got the 17, what actually happens?
Well, they go through a program which is also aired as a TV reality show, and then basically they meet with 4 to 5 different panels of judges from the industry. You were too there to meet the girls. So basically, we have a lot of scoring involved. The girls are watched 24/7, and literally, it's just to see how they carry themselves in public, you know, how they would be if they were to wear the crown. So I think every single criteria that was given to them, they're aware of it, but they don't know when they're being scored. So along the 6 months, I think we've had 4 different panels of judges judging them. And eventually the girl with the highest score, who has maintained consistency, will eventually win.
Right. You're basically on air 24 hours a day.
Correct.
Okay, in my world, anyway.
That's the true, true beauty queen, you know?
So we're going to talk about, of course, we've got the winner, Vanessa. What will she be doing? We'll talk about that in the lead up to Miss Universe Finals. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Carrie Ng, National Director of the Miss Universe Malaysia Organization. You're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Center. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's also Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I've got Carrie Ng here with me. She's the National Director of the Miss Universe Malaysia organization. She was sharing a little earlier on what happens in the selection process. And it's a lot of work before that. But also, I guess, in that process, they go through all kinds of training, fitness mm-hmm. training. I think we saw the TV show. Is that an element that will continue?
Yes. So basically, what happens previously with Andrea and Elaine, prior to the TV show, the girls only have 1 month before. So audition 1 month, and then you go into the TV show, and that's where you're being kicked out or eliminated. But you get to be trained as well. Mm. But this year, I want to make sure that every girl gets a chance to be trained equally before they even go into the beauty camp. And then subsequently, after that, the months that they are allowed to train with us prior to the crowning night, because you have about 4 or 5 months in between, we go through all sorts of training like makeup, grooming, styling, catwalk, speaking, really just showing them to social events and telling them what to do, learning how to be with people of influence. And it's just the makings of a beauty queen. So basically, we made sure that they were experienced from etiquette training to social to basically modeling.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the full package, right? And how do these... Okay, so a winner has been announced. Vanessa, she was also on the that time of night on the evening edition, and that's where a cockroach appeared in our studios.
Poor girl.
It comes out at night, not in the daytime. So, you know, what will she be doing in the lead up to the Miss Universe finals?
So whatever she's been trained before the past
six months. Anyway, she handled herself very well when the cockroach landed in front of her.
I know. Okay, I'm proud of her. Those are one of the criteria. Be calm and composed even though in the presence of a cockroach. But she has a full 5 months packed for her from morning to night. Well, aside from the events that she has to be exposed to, we have to campaign for her so that people would know her and support her when the time comes. And we're also exposing her to people from the media as well, because I think support from the media and the circle of people within our nation is really important. Other than that, we're also building a charity program under her so that she may champion. I think it's really important that the beauty queen champions something that she loves and she's passionate about. And it's sort of building her profile as well. In other ways, I would say we have to make sure that she's well-rounded as well. Mm. She's not very experienced in modeling, so therefore every month we have a workshop with proper photographers, stylists, and people from basically big magazines. I won't say who.
Okay.
They will be coming out to help us do this workshop, so she may be comfortable and be, you know, she would be able to do her best when the time comes. So other than grooming, modeling criteria, she's basically going to be tired.
Okay, so she's basically an employee.
Yes, she's definitely an employee.
Okay, so and you say when you say championing for her, so these are, you know, these are all the people that she has to meet, and promoting her in that aspect.
Correct.
Okay, so what are some of the, you know, myths and misconceptions about Miss Universe that you still get to this day?
Well, I think that a lot of people think that it's a personal choice of who gets the crown, but it's not an overnight decision that we make. As I've said before, we have 4 different panels of judges, all of whom are professional, influential people, and I respect their decision. And I think that we're all looking for someone who would stay and would make a difference and who would make an impact on the world stage, and that's not an easy job. So I think a lot of people think that the competition goes overnight, but there's a lot of work put into it. I think the TV show helps, but I think once again, it's more than just a TV show and what happens on the final night. Because every single time you're there, you're being tested to see whether you can actually carry the brand. You know, you're out there representing us, speaking on our behalf. And if you look at Miss Universe, every time she goes on an interview, she has to watch what she says, but still not lose the essence of her. It's a tough balancing act, you know? So we have to find a girl that really, really does carry the torch since Andrea.
Even on the finals, the judges are new for the. I mean,
they're panel of judges.
They have not had any exposure with the girls.
No, so the only thing that they were given were basically a profile of the girls, mm-hmm. so that they may ask certain questions to get to know the girls.
Yeah.
And I think the brief was just really, really easy. I mean, you get to know the girls in terms of attitude, their grooming, how they look, their presence, and their confidence. You know, I think a lot of people think that it's really important to speak really good English.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great bonus because it's a way of communicating. I don't think a language is a barrier,
right.
But the way you present your ideas are very important.
Yeah, it's not just speaking, but it's, you know,
correct.
Communicating.
Some girls are not so good in their English, but they have that charm.
Yeah,
and when they tell you about what they think, maybe half of it goes true,
yeah.
but still they're charming. You know, you're likable. That's really important too.
And I know coming, you know, even winning a title yourself and Vanessa, there's backlash as well, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what do you do then? What did you do then? You know, and so, you know, this is, I guess it comes to the job.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just look at the fight that just happened, you know, Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather. I mean, there's so much backlash in that as well. I think this is the power of social media and also the downside of it, because people can say whatever they want to say, which is actually quite sad. But this is the reality of what it's like to be a public figure. You know, I experienced it myself, and I think Vanessa is handling it really well.
Mm.
She's actually built up her motivation out of this negative energy. But I think that my advice to her has always been the same. Like, you just have to stay really strong and prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my job here is to groom you and to make sure you have the best tools possible to be the best version of yourself and make everyone proud. But it's still up to her, you know. And I think that I don't think it's just a pageant, but it's just a social phenomenon that's been happening. So, but she has to be used to it, because you're now in the public eye and you have to be responsible to somewhat the public.
And so when will the finals be?
Well, the finals for Vanessa will be end of this year. Where they have not announced the host country yet, but we're hoping that it's somewhere exotic and beautiful.
It always is, or at least packaged that way.
Yeah.
You know, so, and 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
When will, for 2016, when do you announce entries?
Well, we'll be hoping to announce the girls by June, end of June. So we are actually in the midst of looking out for potential girls. So actually stay tuned to our Miss Universe Malaysia Facebook page, as we might be calling out for auditions soon.
Oh, so you're looking at finalists already by by end June?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very...
So we have to have a lineup of girls quick before we crown the girls.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay, how long do you see yourself in this role? And,
well, to be honest, when I first took on this job, I didn't want to think about it too much.
Mm.
But I wanted myself to be committed to it at least for 5 years.
Right.
And I think that's only because I see what my ex-national directors have done in the past. And I think that to be able to carry a vision out, you need time and also experience. And now I really do admire what they've done with the organization. And I think that if they were given more time, it would definitely have been executed better.
Right.
So I think 5 years would be a good year. But I think that I'm slowly discovering that there's so much I can do with these girls and that I'm really passionate about it, because there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
You're basically molding future girls.
And if you say 5 years, right, what would you like to see happen or evolve in the next 5 years?
Wow. I would say that I hope that the pageant will come to a point where every girl would want to be Miss Universe, and every parent would be proud if their girls are Miss Universe, because they're not just beauty queens like what you see parading. I mean, sometimes I think parents here, I mean, because of the misconception of the pageant, I don't think they're very keen with their kids going into an industry like that.
So,
but
to bring back the prestige.
Correct.
And
that it's a wholesome thing. It's a lifestyle that should be admired, and it's a tough job. But your girl will be strong, she'll be admired, and she will be beautiful.
Hmm. If you can handle this, I guess, being in the public eye, you can just about handle anything.
Anything.
All right. I've been speaking to the beautiful Carrie Ng, a national director of Miss Universe Malaysia organization. In her vantage, Women of Influence and Leadership Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.